believe that I've talked a little bit about this when we come through back in the summer, how God had networked us together with a Messianic Jew and ministry there in Israel through a brother that was from Holland. And how this happened was that he was Googling on the internet, and he discovered our message, why Christians should support Israel, and felt that it was the providence of God that they had found that message, because it excited him so much they wanted to take that message and translate it into Hebrew, into Russian, into German, into what's the language there?
Dutch,
and was another language.
German, Hebrew, Dutch, Russian.
Okay, German, Hebrew, Dutch, and Russian. But there was another one, too, that they talked about. So they're translating that message, and it impacted them so much. They said, Brother Hayes, this is the message that people in America needs to hear, and in Russia and in different parts of the world. But, you know, when I think about that message, I got a lot of slack from Christian people about that message. As a matter of fact, I was called a anti-Semitic because of that message, which is a hater of Jews. And it's just really weird, you know, that anybody would call a minister of the gospel who has a heart to have see people saved anti-Semitic. We're not anti-anybody. We love everybody, praise God. But what the situation is, and what they wrote to me was, people in America, Christians in America, will support Israel in anything except the evangelizing of the nation of Israel. They will not support the preaching of the gospel of Israel. And now this is from a Messianic Jew. So, and I know that, and I understood that, and that's why I wrote that article. We don't need to give money to the rebuilding of a temple. We don't need to give money to the raising up of red heifers and raising up of animals to be sacrificed in a temple, a natural temple that's going to be made. That is all an abomination to God. It is an abomination. There's a reason that the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. And the reason it was destroyed is because that particular type of a religion, or let's go back and just say it was the Old Covenant. And the reason the temple was there was for the purpose of the Old Covenant, and it had to be destroyed. God destroyed that temple. He used the armies of the people then to destroy it, but it was destroyed by God. Because those things are over. It is done with. We have a new covenant with better promises. Amen. And it's not just a covenant for the Gentile people. It is a covenant. The new covenant is for every man, woman, boy, and girl. White, black, green, yellow, and red. Amen. For all nationalities, for all people. Amen. So, and that's an understanding that a lot of people don't have. But I've written another article. It's coming out. You'll probably get it here in a couple of weeks. And the title of that article, Is This Israel's Time? Is this the time for Israel? And you might think in your heart tonight, and you think, well, I don't need to hear anything about Israel. I don't need to hear about what's going on there. I'm in America. No, you need to hear what's happening right now in Israel. Because what God is doing should alert every one of us that of the coming of the Lord is very close. Closer than any one of us imagined. That's how close it is to the coming of the Lord Jesus. And this is the time of preparation, but it's also the time to get the gospel out. It is the time to be a witness. It's not the time to quit. It's not a time to lay down. It's not a time to back up, but it's the time to stand up and go forward in the name of Jesus, declaring to the entire world and particularly to the Jewish people that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by Him. They need to hear that. And they are not hearing that from American Christians and evangelists. I don't know if you've tuned on to the TV lately and watched some of the broadcasts of some of the religious, I call it propaganda, that's being perpetrated over television about Israel and all. It's all about natural Israel. There is nothing there about the salvation of the souls of the Jewish people. And that has got to be corrected, and one of my job, part of my job, the other job, other people's job, is to do that, is to change the mindset. And you know, you've got to change your mind. You've got a particular thought in your mind that's wrong and it's opposite God. We've got to get to what God, the way God thinks about this thing. And so there's got to be a change of our mind, a change of our heart. And only you can do that. So I'm going to begin here by just telling you just a few, not too many here, but just some statistics, you know, just to let us see what the condition is there in that part of the world. In Israel, there is about, and now this is among the people that profess any kind of religion. I don't know if you know it or not, but about 75 to 80% of all the people that live in Israel is non-religious. They don't believe in anything. They're not atheists so much, but they're just not affiliated with any kind of religion. So they're not Judean, they're not Jewish as far as religion, they're not Christian, they're not any of that. They're just not, they're non-religious. Israel today is a country with a lot of problems with the people, with drugs, a lot of problems with alcoholism, prostitution. They have just as much problems with all of those things as America, if not more. And it's a place that is just reeling with poverty. There's all kind of trouble there, and just like there's trouble in our country. It's not a land of paradise. It is a land of a great deal of problems and troubles. But within the people that profess any kind of religion, 75% of them are Jewish, are in Judaism. 2% or 2.1% is Christian. 1.7% is a religion called Druze, which is a mixture of Christianity, Catholicism, and Judaism, and everything else. It's just a big mess. And then about 16.9% or almost 17% are Muslim in Israel. And now that those statistics are just people that say, I'm a Christian. That doesn't mean that they really are a Christian, you know, that they're really born again. That's just people that say that I'm a Christian. The nation of Israel only recognizes 9 Christian churches. Those 9 are these. Now, this is, they officially recognize these as churches that can operate in the nation of Israel. The 9 are these. One is the Eastern Orthodox. The other is the Roman Catholic, Latin. The Gregorian Armenian Church. The Armenian Catholic. The Syriac Catholic. The Chaldean Unate, the Melkite Greek Catholic, the Assyrian Church of the East, the Ethiopian Orthodox, the Maronite, and the Syriac Orthodox Churches. Now, has anybody ever heard of those except maybe the Catholic Church? Those are the 9 churches that they recognize as officially being able to operate in Israel. Notice there is no Pentecostal Charismatic churches. There is no Protestant churches that are known for missionary efforts, such as the Baptists, the Methodists, the Evangelicals. They are not officially recognized. These, the Pentecostal movement, is not officially recognized as a church in Israel. Just those 9 is the ones that are officially recognized to be able to operate there legally in Israel. Now that presents a problem, doesn't it? Because I'm not any of those things, and I don't think any of you guys are any of those things. Well, I don't even know what they are. But it's not going to sound right. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. It's just going to sound right. So we are Protestant, and they say they are Protestant, of course, the ones that's Catholic or not, but we are evangelical. We are evangelists. We are men and women, amen, of the Spirit of God. We are born again. We have a Pentecostal experience, amen. And that is what we are. We're there for the whole gospel, the full gospel of Jesus. Repentance, baptism, receiving the Spirit of God, speaking in tongues, the power of God being manifested. That's what we're about, because we understand that is the full gospel. And how many understand that even those that they are in Israel today, Messianic Jews, which that term simply means Jewish people that have accepted Jesus as the Messiah or as the Christ. They're called Messianic Jews. In other words, that's the term that they use for them. But among the Messianic Jews, they are involved in all of these different church organizations here. Very, very few. Very few. It wouldn't even be a tenth of a percent are actually born again Christians such as we know. Not even a tenth of a percent would be there. Not even a tenth of a percent. I'm going to say again, not even a tenth of a percent of those that's professing to be Christians are actually born again, Bible-believing, full gospel Christians that's in Israel. Now look at that, and look at almost 18% or 17% of the population are being Muslim. Now there's something bad wrong with this picture. How many knows that Israel is the birthplace of Christianity? Israel is the birthplace of Christianity. It's where it all began. And I personally believe it's where it's all going to end up at. It started there, and it's going to be finished there. We'll see some scriptures in just a moment to let you understand that. Now, the law in Israel, it's not exactly against the law to preach Jesus, but in a way it is against the law. It's not against the law, but it is against the law. Let me explain that. The limitations of evangelism in Israel, the law in Israel addresses it this way. Number one, the two main things that they emphasize. Number one, it is forbidden to persuade a minor under 18 to change his religion. That means if I have one person in an audience that's 17 years old and I'm preaching Jesus to them, they can arrest me. You see what I'm saying? In other words, that the way they do the law to stop evangelism. Because if there were just one person, 17, in that audience, and I'm preaching Jesus to them, they could come in and arrest me because I have broken their law. Amen? In other words, no one under 18 can be, persuaded to change their religion. Okay? Number two, it is forbidden to buy souls. That's the way their law says it. It is forbidden to buy souls, that is, to suggest something in return for changing one's religion. Now, I read an article not long ago where this couple were arrested there in Israel because they had simply offered a cup of coffee to a person to sit down and talk to them about Jesus. Because they said, you have fallen under this law, you have given that cup of coffee to that person to persuade them, as a gift to persuade them to change the religion. That's how these laws can be interpreted. You know how the laws in America can be interpreted. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It could really mean that, but they can interpret it all kinds of different ways. But see, the law is designed to stop or hinder evangelism, particularly Christian evangelism. Muslims don't seem to have a problem because most of their people are born into their religion through natural birth. I mean, understand what I'm saying. They don't have to go out and have a crusade. They just have kids. Amen. They just have children, more and more children, so then you have more and more Muslims, see? And that's the way the Muslim religion is spread because of that. Because they just have their children, they raise their children that way, they become Muslims, they have other children, they become Muslims. And at the same time, throughout this world, is it in China or Korea? I believe it's in China where they're limited to one child now or two children. There's countries that are limiting their people from having more than one child or more than two children. You can't have just a few children in some of these countries. But the Muslims will never agree with that. They'll have 50 kids. I mean, they don't care because they are birthing people into their religion. Amen. Now, in the Christians, those that are Christians that are involved in, and most of these are Armenian Catholic, Assyrian Catholic, and all of this. The most striking thing to me was this. Most Christians residing permanently in Israel are ethnic Arabs. Most of the Christians are ethnic Arabs and who belong to the Greek Orthodox and to a lesser degree the Greek Catholic or Melkite churches. That's the most of them. The other greater population is the Jews that have come from Russia. They've come from Russia back to Israel, and most of them, not most of them, but a lot of them are Messianic Jews. So in that response, you see a big problem here. And that big problem is that the true gospel, the power of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being born again, the real gospel, these are organizations that you just join. You understand, I'm not going to throw stones at the denominational system. But the Bible clearly teaches us you must be born again. I mean, you've got to be born again. If you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, that's what Jesus taught. And you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And without those things in your life, then you don't have a relationship with God.
Amen.
It's not just joining an organization or joining a church, you know, or being born into a family that is a Greek Orthodox, you automatically become a Christian. And some of those people teach that. It's like in the Catholic Church. You know, as a baby, you know, you're dedicated, you're sprinkled, and then now you're a Catholic, and that's it. There's no born-again experience. There's no accepting Jesus as your Savior. You're a Catholic. Then you're a Catholic for life. And that's where a lot of religions, that's where these religions are. And I'm pointing these out to let you see, you know, how great the need is in Israel, and not only Israel, but the entire Middle East, for a moving of God's Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I mentioned this when I was over in Havre, and you know this, and there are great evangelists, I think I mentioned it this morning, there are great evangelists of the past. You know, there was Billy Sunday, and there was Moody, and different ones all through time. Wigglesworth, and Reinhard Bonnke of late, and different ones that's had great moves of God. Billy Graham, you know, that has had crusades all over the world. They've been to China. They've been to, you know, South America, Central America. They've been to all these different places. But guess what? None has ever had a move of God or a crusade in Israel. None of them have. Not one has ever had a crusade in Israel. Why? I believe it's not because they didn't want to. I believe because the door was closed and they could not have a crusade.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, the door is still closed. But God is opening this door.
Amen.
God is opening the door in Israel for a moving of the Holy Spirit. I believe that with all my heart. Now, Christianity, you know, originated there in the Middle East. Jerusalem, the birthplace of Christianity. Israel, the birthplace of Christianity in the first century. Spread like wildfire, turned the world upside down. In the early 20th century, in the Middle East, 20% of the population, believe it or not, was Christian. And that included all, in the early 20th century, all of the Middle East, and was Christian. Now this would even be before Israel become a nation. But all of that Middle Eastern place, the Jews, some Jews were there, and I, you know, all the different Arabs of it. But 20% of the population was Christian. Now it is 5%. It's 5%. Now look how quickly it's dropped from 20% to 5%. And the statistics that I read at the present rate, the Middle East, 12 million Christians. That's how many Christians are left there, just 12 million. And the entire Middle East, now not just Israel, the entire Middle East, there's only 12 million Christians left. And most of them, the majority of them, is all of these different churches I've named. Not born again Christians, but all these different churches I've named. 12 million Christians will likely drop to 6 million by the year 2020. With time, Christians will effectively disappear from the region. It's just going down, down, down. And there's no focus. There's no real focus. There's no real enthusiasm even about having a move of God in that part of the country. Number one, it's dangerous. Number two, I mean, if you go along with the danger, it's under the penalty of death in some of those countries to preach Jesus. And I understand that. But I can tell you tonight, they are people underground right now, as I speak, that are laying down their lives.
Amen.
To get Bibles in the hands of these people. Some of the Muslim people that's in some of these nations are turning to Christ. Amen. They're turning to Christ. As you were telling me this morning, I believe it was you telling me that some of the Orthodox Jews, those guys with the funny hair and the funny little hat, some of them are turning to Jesus right now. There's some of them are beginning to turn to Jesus. Sister Glenda testified here this morning when she was in Israel a number of years ago that they met a young girl there on the street because, you know, you couldn't just go out and preach Jesus, but they would go out at night and talk to people. And she talked to a young girl about Jesus, if she knew Jesus, and, you know, began to talk to her. She said, you know, in our schools, they tell us don't say anything about Jesus. Don't even talk about Jesus. Don't even mention Jesus. Don't talk about that man, Jesus. And she said, some of the people, she said, I've heard that some of the people are seeing Jesus in visions of dreams.
Yeah.
In Israel. This is like a crack. You understand what I'm saying? It's like the doorway opening just a little bit. And then know that the dumb door is going to shut Jesus out. Amen. Amen. And but see, evangelism couldn't go there because the door wasn't open. But there's indications now. And the people that wrote me and wanted to translate my messages even into Hebrew and German and all these different languages, Russian and all, my God, that was the ordination of God that they have contacted me to do that. And they're hungry for Jesus. They're hungry for the move of God. So we're seeing, amen, a change in the atmosphere. Listen, how many have heard of great revivals? How many have ever heard of the Wales revival? How many have ever heard of the Azusa Street experience, the revival out of Azusa Street? And over here in Topeka, Kansas, of the great revival. And there was a great revival in Florida. There's a great revival in Canada. There's a great revival over there. How many know from time to time they are great moves of God? But it's the moving of God's Spirit. And do you know God has been dealing with the Gentile race now for 2,000 years almost. Amen. And the fullness of the Gentiles is about to become in.
Amen.
So what's going to happen next? The rapture? No. What's going to happen next is a return of the kingdom of God to Israel. There is going to be a move of God there. It's happening. And I believe we're just now beginning to see, amen, just the sparks of revival, the sparks of desire for Jesus, the sparks, amen, of hope, amen, beginning to open. And all of these statistics that I've given you, all that's going to be flip-flopped. Amen. Amen. There is going to be a move of God there. Amen. So while Christianity may be disappearing now, and it may be going down to less than 2% now, it may be down to where there's just hardly nothing now. Amen. I'm telling you, all of that is about to change, and we're about to see. And if I am right, and I'm not saying I'm right in everything, but what I see in the Word of God, if this is in the end, we are living in the end time, and we all agree that we believe that we're living in the end time. If we are really living in the end time, this has got to happen. And I'm going to prove it with the Scripture. The gospel, the kingdom, will have to be restored to Israel. It's got to be restored. The kingdom of God is not natural.
Amen.
Jesus don't need to come down and set in a temple, a natural temple in Israel. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's a spiritual kingdom. And you and I have enjoyed this kingdom and Gentile people for almost 2,000 years. Now they're going to get a chance to enjoy this kingdom of love and joy and peace and happiness and prosperity and the love of God. Amen. It's time for a change, and I believe we are at that time. God's going to do it. Amen?
Amen.
I said, God's going to do it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Now, listen to this scripture. In Romans 11, in verse 25, you don't have to look it up, but if you can, if you want to. But in Romans 11 and 25, the Apostle Paul, and the reason we'll give these scriptures is because most Christians in America believe this. They believe that the Jews are God's people. Amen? They're God's people. They believe they're God's people and they're saved already.
Yeah, amen.
They believe that they're God's people and they're saved. They are God's people that are lost. They are not saved. They are lost. There's only one gospel. Amen. They are God's people, but they are lost and undone without Jesus. Look what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. He said, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." So that means that the fullness of something is the maturity of it. It is the finish of it. You know what? Something is mature, it cannot anything be added to it. In other words, it's matured. It's done. It's a done deal. It's over with. So when he's saying that the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, Paul had a revelation here. An understanding that the gospel had been taken from Israel. The kingdom had been taken from Israel and been given to another people. Jesus said they're going to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west and sit down in the kingdom of God with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the children of the kingdom would be cast out.
Amen.
He said that to the Jews.
Amen. Amen.
Can you imagine their attitude when they heard that? We're going to be cast out and people are going to come from these heathen places and they're going to sit down here in this kingdom. They were thinking naturally, but Jesus was speaking spiritually.
Amen.
That the kingdom was going to be taken from them. They were going to be, the kingdom was going to be taken from them and given to another people. We are that people.
Amen.
Amen. So he said that, number one, that the blindness would be there. Amen. That they would be blinded. Amen. And this blindness that would happen to them. In other words, it wasn't going to be the every person, because how many know most of, just about everyone that was first born into the kingdom of God was Jews. Amen.
Amen.
Then there on the day of Pentecost, even about 3,000, about 5,000 later, the move of God to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. But the kingdom was taken from them. Amen. And it was given to a people that would bring forth fruit. Amen. Now, for many years, I have believed, matter of fact, since my whole Christian life, I have believed, until I got to the place I could understand a little bit of the Word of God, I believed that there would be a return, a great revival in Israel. I've always believed that. And I believe that, amen, not for so much the reasons I'm explaining to you tonight. It's just that I felt, you know, the heart of the Apostle Paul. And I would read, amen, how Paul would weep over his people and how he loved his people and how he prayed for his people. And I felt, you know, there one of these days, there's going to be a move of God over there. And boy, I'd love to be a part of it, wouldn't you? I want to be a part of what God's doing. Amen. I don't want to be a part of what man's doing. I want to have the mind of God and be a part of what Jesus is doing. Amen. I want to be about the Father's business. But first, I got to know what his business is. Amen. And his business is the salvation of people. Amen. I believe that. Now, think about this. Y'all remember back in the night? Well, you don't remember back in 1948. I could say I did, but I was a small child. And, amen. In 1948, Israel became a nation for the first time in almost 2,000 years. It was a historical event, but it was a spiritual event. Because they had to become a nation to fulfill the end time scenario of just what I'm talking about. They had to become a nation to be able to do, to perform what I'm speaking of that's going to be performed there. They had to be a nation. So in 1948, they became a nation. For the first time since 70 A.D., when they were destroyed and they were scattered. Then in 1967, the famous seven-day war, they captured Jerusalem. And Jerusalem became a part of Israel for the first time since 70 A.D. So now it was complete. You had Jerusalem as the headquarters, and you had the nation of Israel. Amen. You had them all there together. That tiny nation now, how many of those Israel? Just a little bitty. I mean, I forget exactly how small it is. I wish I had those stats, but it's just a little place. That little tiny nation holds the intention. Now, and listen, it's not even 70 years old yet. It holds the attention of the entire world.
Amen.
Why? How can one little old tiny nation hold the attention of the entire world? It doesn't even make sense. If you're looking at it with a calm mind, it doesn't make sense. Why would China be interested in Israel? Why does the United States interested in it? Why does all these countries, why is it always without anything that anytime Israel's feathers get ruffled a little bit, my God, it's all over the news. CNN, Fox News, everybody talking about, look what's happening over here. What's going to happen, you know? Because it is not just historically an event, it is a spiritual event. And it is something that God did. God did the thing in 1948. He did the thing in 1967.
Amen.
So this is to draw the world's attention there for a reason.
Amen.
How many know the world's attention is there right now?
Oh, yeah.
Now, what do you think the reason is? Carnal Christians believe that the rapture's going to happen, everybody's going to fly away, and then while everybody's up having a big marriage supper in the sky, then all hell's going to break loose here, and all this attention's going to be over in Israel. They're going to rebuild the temple, and they're going to do this and that and that, and the Antichrist is going to rise, and all this kind of stuff. And that's why all of this has been set up. It's all natural in a carnal way. But no, it's being set up because the world is going to see the moving of God's Spirit in Israel.
Amen.
manifestation of the power of God is going to be brought there. The attention of the whole world, man. Listen, think about this for a moment. What if all of a sudden a real revival broke out in Israel? A revival such to the extent that it could not be held back. That all of a sudden, even the government would have to admit something has happened in our nation. Something has happened in our nation. People by the thousands are going to Christian churches. By the thousands, people, amen, are being filled with something they call the Holy Spirit and are speaking in some kind of a tongue or something. And people are confessing that they're being healed and delivered and miracles are being wrought. And CNN is there and Fox News. So Brother Hayes, you don't know what you're talking about. No, the whole attention of the world is on Israel. And Jesus is going to be revealed. Every eye shall see Him. Every tongue shall confess Him. Think about it just a moment. Just think about a tiny little country whom the whole world's eyes is upon. Waiting for a great war. Ready for, you know, Russia to invade. Ready for China to invade. Ready for this to happen. But what happens is a move of God. Think about it. You know what I'm saying? Think about it. Listen to this. Oh, I'm telling you, children of God. My focus is not on a rapture. My focus is not on tribulation. My focus is not on the Antichrist. My focus is not on the mark of the beast. My focus is on revival.
Amen.
My focus is on a move of God. Amen. Not just for our nation, for our people, but especially for the people in the Middle East. Especially for the people that we are called Jews. Amen. And not only there, but in all the other parts of the world. God is fixing to move, I'm telling you. Now listen. The 1948 thing, the 1967 thing, the supernatural events that happened that signaled the beginning of the dispensation of the Gentiles being fulfilled. That's what those signified. That nation becoming, Israel becoming a nation. And then in 1967, it signaled to every Christian, we should have took notice that our dispensation is ending. Israel beginning to rise. They were done. It was over with. But now they rise. They're a nation now. Now they have Jerusalem now. Something's happening over there. It should have entered in right here. Our dispensation is closing. You know yourself, there's not been much of a move of God's Spirit in many, many years. Many, many years.
Amen.
We've had some refreshings. God's still saving. I'm not saying God's not saving people. I'm talking about a move of God where the power of God is wrought and people are healed and delivered. And I'm talking about a real move of God. Not just where you hear about somebody healed every once in a while. I'm talking about a move of God. We have not seen it in years.
Right?
Years and years and years.
Amen.
Why? Because our dispensation is ending. The dispensation of a moving. You see what I'm saying? It's ending. God's still saving. God's still healing. God's still delivering. But we're not having no revival. Not no revival like Wiggles would have had. Not no revival like they had in Wales. Not no revival like that was birthed there at Azusa Street. Not no revival. You see what I'm saying? People are still in, being healed. But listen, it's not like it was before. The dispensation is closing. Is God quitting? Is He, you know, is He closing up shop and leaving town? No. He's fixing to move in a different direction. Because He said the gifts and the call of God without repentance. He hasn't forgot about Israel. He hasn't forgot about those chosen people that are lost and undone and going to hell without Jesus. No man can come to the Father except the Spirit draw him. No man can come to God except the Spirit draw him. God fixes for drawing these people.
Amen.
We're fixed to have a move of God there. Amen. Paul cries this in Romans 10 and 1. He said, brethren, and this is what I can't understand, why some people think because the Jews are by heritage God's people, that they believe that they're saved anyway, and or somehow or another God's going to save them, something's going to happen to them. When Paul was so adamant that Israel was lost, he said in Romans 10 and 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He wanted them to be saved. He knew that no person could be saved without Jesus. That every Jew, every person, every Gentile, every heathen, no matter what the race, no matter what country, no one could be saved without Jesus. And his heart's desire and prayer for Israel was that they might be saved. He knew they were lost. And that's how much love that he had for his people. Then he says in Romans 9, verses 2 through 4, he said that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had that kind of burden for the souls of our people and for our loved ones?
Amen.
He said, I have continual sorrow, a great heaviness in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I would give up my own soul if my brethren could be saved. That's how much love that he had for the Jewish people. And I would give up my own soul if my people could be saved. Now, who else has that kind of compassion for people? We need that compassion. We need that passion that he had for a lost and dying world. We need it for our children. We need it for our nation. And we need it for the Jewish people. That they would be saved. That something would happen. That a move of God would happen to sweep them into the kingdom of God. He said, For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. In other words, he said, listen, they receive all these things from God and they're lost. They're all lost, but yet they have all of these things that come from God to them. Oh, I'm telling you, this Paul, he wanted his people saved. He wanted his people saved. But we cannot make any mistake about it. Just as the Apostle Paul affirmed him, and that he wanted those people saved, and affirmed that he knew that they were lost. We have got to, amen, not make a mistake that the world is making, the Christian world is making today, assuming that God is going to save people without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, as St. John 14 and 6. No man can come to the Father except by Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what his natural heritage is. It doesn't matter if he's a natural seed, amen, of an Israelite. He cannot come to God except through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul preached. That's what Jesus said.
Hallelujah.
Apostle Peter boldly proclaims in thee that there's salvation in any other. Amen. For there is none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved.
Amen.
Amen. That's Acts 4 and 12. The Apostle Paul stated, wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue should confess. Amen. That he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's found in Philippians chapter 2, 9 through 11. There is no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. We have to understand that. We have to understand that no matter how good a person is, we have to understand that no matter how holy a person is on the outward, amen, how good that person is, it doesn't matter if he's a Jew, if he's a Gentile, it doesn't matter, amen, if he's a Muslim, it doesn't matter if he's a Hare Krishna, no person will go to heaven without coming through the door which is Jesus Christ. We have to get that made up in our minds. No person can be saved outside of Jesus. And because if we believe any other thing, we are disobeying the word of God even.
Amen.
And being a witness to others.
Amen.
I mean, seeing good people. I know in my lifetime, I've seen good people. People that morally were better than most Christians that I knew. But they wouldn't accept Jesus. But they morally, they were good. They would give you the shirt off their back.
Amen.
They were not drunks and they were not alcoholics. They were not drug addicts. They had a nice home. They worked good jobs and they loved people and they gave to people and they helped people. But they wouldn't have Jesus. That person is lost today.
Amen.
Because it's not by any works that you're going to ever enter into life, but it's by the grace of God.
Amen.
It's a horrible situation. It's something horrible to think about. But nobody can be saved without Jesus. This is what I understand. This is what I know without a question. But why is it we let our own human love, our own human sensuality get in the way of God's love? God made a way for people to be born again. Amen. And that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says this in Romans 11, verse 25, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness is part, has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." We opened that just a moment ago, but here's the rest of it. It says, "And so all Israel shall be saved." And you know, some people take that scripture out of context. They say, see, they're all going to be saved anyway. Well, there's no point of going over there and preaching the gospel. The Bible tells you all Israel's going to be saved. They don't understand. They can't perceive. They cannot comprehend for some reason or other. Yes, all Israel will be saved. And let me understand that you have to become spiritual Israel to be saved. You've got to become a Jew to be saved. A Jew is not a Jew that is one outwardly. Paul said that. But a Jew is one that is a Jew inwardly.
Amen.
Amen. We become a spiritual Jew when you're born again.
Amen.
We become the Israel of God. I mean, Israel means Prince of God. That's what the word Israel means. We become, amen, part of the Prince of God, part of Israel. When you're born again, all of Israel will be saved. That is to say, all of the church will be saved. It doesn't mean a particular nation over there is going to be saved. We are the nation of God. We are the holy priesthood of God. A holy nation, a peculiar people. We are the people of God. We are the nation of Israel, spiritually speaking. For all of Israel shall be saved. But then take it out of context. As it is written, "There shall come out of Zion the deliverer." Now he's getting prophetically saved. And as it is written, "Out of Zion shall come the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sin." He's talking prophetically now. "As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake." Now he's talking about natural people, natural Jews, natural Israel. He says, concerning the gospel, they're your enemy. And we know they are our enemies.
Amen.
They're your enemies for your sake. "But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." Some people use that. Say, "Well, I got the gift of prophecy, or I might have backslid, but I still got the gift of prophecy." You know, but God don't repent over a gift. He's not talking about that kind of gifts. He's talking about the gift of God of life. He's talking about the gift that he called Israel by name. He called them. Yes, the kingdom was taken from them. But this is talking about a time when there is coming a deliverer out of Zion. How many know that Jesus is the deliverer? Jesus is the deliverer. But Jesus is not saying that Jesus is going to come out of heaven. It's that Jesus is going to come out of Zion. Zion is the type of the church. Jesus, the deliverer, is going to come out of Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. He's going to come with a covenant, my covenant, unto them, and he's going to take away their sins. What he's talking about? He's talking about a time when the covenant is going to be restored back to Israel. The covenant, amen. How many knows the new covenant? I'm an old covenant, but the new covenant is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The new covenant is the Holy Ghost in you, God living in you. And out of Zion, out of the church, and then Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you know Jesus is living in you. The deliverer is living in you. And out of you is going to come deliverance for Israel. That's what he's saying. Amen. For the gifts and call of God without repentance. God said, "I'll call them. I'm not going to repent over it. Yes, I've turned from them. I've given my kingdom to another people. But I'm going to restore them." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Restoration, the restoring. And that's what God's going to do. The deliverer is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Zion is none other than the church. And the Lord Jesus Christ lived in the church. Out of us is the deliverance that Israel is going to have and going to need. They've got to have it. Amen? Whew. Lord, have mercy. Help me, Jesus. What happened? Blindness came. Israel blinded part of it that the Gentiles might be saved. You can read it all in the Bible. It's right there. They were cut off that we might be grafted in.
Right.
But God's able to graft them back in again.
Amen.
It says it plainly.
Amen.
It didn't say he would. He said he's able to graft them back in. They have been cut off from the vine. The vine is the life of God. The vine is salvation. The vine is the Holy Spirit. The vine is part of the new covenant. They were cut off, and they're still cut off today. But thought we could be grafted in, but we're not supposed to boast against the branches. We're not supposed to boast against them that we're saved and you're lost. No, 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 no. They're still the elect of God. And God, amen, is going to restore them. He's going to graft them back in again. How are they going to do it? Because out of Zion, out of me and you, is going to come deliverance. Reestablishing the new covenant to the people of the covenant. They were the people of the old covenant. And they were first given the new covenant, but they rejected it. Amen. But now, God is restoring. Then secondly, the Gentiles is going to be fulfilled. They were blinded that we might be grafted in, but it was going to be for a season of time. It was going to be for a while. It was not going to be forever. And the Gentiles are going to be given a space of time. God was going to move for the Gentile people. He was going to move for the Ethiopians. He was going to move for the heathen. He was going to move for the black people, the red people, all people, the white people. He was going to move throughout the entire world. The Holy Spirit was going to be given even to all peoples. Amen. It was going to be spread everywhere. But there was going to be a time when it was going to be fulfilled. It was going to be finished. We're at that time. We're at that time. The fullness of the Gentiles be come in. They were blinded until when? Until that fullness happened. Well, when the fullness of the Gentiles are come in, and they were blinded until then, does it not make sense that if they were blinded until then, when that part is finished, their eyes would be opened again?
Yes.
There's no other way to look at it. There's no other reason for the scripture to even be given. Their eyes would be opened again. They would be grafted back in. The new covenant would be restored once again. The Holy Spirit would be poured out one more time in the land where it all began. Right there in Jerusalem. Right there in Tel Aviv. Right there in the Middle East. I'm not just talking about Israel. I'm talking about the entire Middle East, I believe, will explode with the move of God.
Amen.
I really believe. Because they've been oppressed for so many years. See, we talk about revival in China. We talk about revival in South America and Central America and Africa and India and Asia. What about revival there? Why is there not revival there? There's fixing to be a great move of God there. Now, thirdly, about that one particular verse of Scripture. The deliverer comes out of Zion. Amen. Does it come out of heaven? Amen. It comes out of the church. And it's going to be reestablished in the land of Israel. How many knows it's not hell, fire, and brimstone that leads people to repentance? Oh, it's not. So, look, he scared the hell out of me, and I'll repent it. How many knows that's what they'll say? Oh, no, 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 no. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. That's the word of God. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. Oh, I was convicted of my sin, and I certainly didn't want to go to hell. Don't get me wrong. But really, it was His goodness.
Yeah.
Amen.
Not His fear, not my fear of Him, not my fear of torment, but His goodness led me to repentance. And that's what the Word of God says. Amen.
He did.
Jesus said, that's in Romans 2:4. His goodness is about to be bestowed. Jewish people. Yes, it is. His goodness is about to be restored there. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That means that I can't come to God unless His goodness draws me.
Amen.
No man can come to me except the Spirit draws him. That's His goodness.
Amen.
So that door has been shut because God's Spirit has not dealt with the people as a whole. It's dealt with individuals. It's dealing with individuals right now. But it's about to be dealing with a whole nation. A whole nation of people. So Brother Hayes, you said, well, everyone is going to be saved. No, I'm not saying that. Everybody wasn't saved in the way of revival. Everyone wasn't saved in the different revivals we've had. But I'm telling you, the majority of the people is going to be saved. They're going to receive Christ. They're going to accept the Lord Jesus. Now, listen. Let me just give you the scripture about Zion, for those of you who make out there. And Zion is the church. Hebrews 12, 22 and 23. It says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. I mean, there's a heavenly Jerusalem.
Amen.
Amen. He's talking spiritually. Amen. And heavenly Jerusalem is the city of our God.
Amen.
Amen. And how many know that we are that city? That's what a lot of people don't understand. We are the city of God. I mean, in the book of Revelations, the angels told John, he says, come and I'll show you the Lamb's wife. And he went and looked, and he saw a city coming down out of heaven. Is that right? He saw a city. He said, this is the Lamb of God. This is the bride of Christ. And he saw a city descending out of heaven, whose foundation had 12 foundations. I mean, those 12 foundations, the apostles, were built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. It wasn't a natural city. It was a spiritual city, and we are that city. He said, you are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. It's all there, I know. Which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. See, that city is you and I. That Mount Zion is you and I. It's typing, amen, spiritually typing who we are in Christ, who we are in God. But see, the natural mind, it always wants to put everything in the natural. It doesn't think spiritually. It doesn't think spiritual thoughts. That's why the message on spirit, body, and soul is so important. Amen. Because in your spirit is this revelation and that understanding that in your carnal mind, you're looking at everything carnally. Amen. You're walking down the streets of gold. You're looking at great high mountains. Places of being. My mansion's over yonder. And I'll just take a little cabin over here in glory land. Your mind is thinking about all this natural stuff.
Yeah.
But the Bible says, and the street of the city was pure gold.
Yeah.
How many of you ever seen a city with one street in it? It said street.
Amen.
Not streets. And the street of the city. I don't want to go there because it's all typology. It all types something. There's a way. There's a highway called holiness. You're brought forth as pure gold. I mean, you can go. I mean, you know, I'm not going to go into all that. Because today, that's a whole different message altogether. But listen, when you read the scripture, get in the spirit. Let the spirit of God reveal to you the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It's particularly if you're going to go in the book of Revelations. It is absolutely 100% spiritually written, spiritually given, spiritually written, and spiritually discerned. And your carnal mind will never figure it out. But I'm going to tell you something. I tried for years to figure it out. And come to the conclusion, I'm not smart enough. And if I want to understand anything here, God's going to have to show me.
Amen.
Amen. Now, praise God. The deliverer comes out of us. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That is life. That's the Holy Spirit. That's joy, happiness, everything that God gives to us. Amen. Life, water, water, the water of life, the rivers of living water, it's all life. That's Holy Ghost filled Christians. Amen. Doing the work of God in Israel. Now listen. Most Christians believe that either the Jews are already saved or in just any second now, the rapture's going to happen. And then, just after all their other figures, they figured all this other stuff out. The Antichrist, got to do this, got to do that. This got to happen, that's got to happen. And then Jesus comes back. And when Jesus comes back, their mentality is, all the people in the world are going to look up. Hey, look, it is Him. Jesus is the Messiah. Look at that. And they're all going to be saved. Now, that is really what a lot of teaching is today. And they're all going to be saved. Then they're going to, oh my, look at that. Oh, no, that he was the Messiah after all. No. You're not saved by what you see. You're saved by faith. Through grace. Amen. The same because, amen, you simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're not saved because you've seen Him coming in the clouds of glory. It's going to be too late for anybody then. Amen. Because when He comes back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, taking vengeance on them that know not God and have not obeyed the gospel. He's taking vengeance. He's not coming back with salvation then. He's coming back in destruction.
Amen.
And that's where you and I fit in. It is our responsibility. I'm going to tell you something. Project Israel is what I'm calling this project that I'm fixing to undertake. Project Israel is the responsibility of every born-again Christian. It's our duty. Israel, the salvation of the Jewish people is our responsibility. So I don't know about that. Yes, I do. Our responsibility is to be a witness and to do everything we can to get the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to every creature. Amen. Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached unto all nations, and then the end would come. Why has the end not come? Because it's been preached to all these other nations. It's been preached in Africa, India, Asia. But there in the Middle East, that part of the world, it's the last stronghold of Satan. Israel is the last stronghold of Satan. You may not agree with me, but I'm telling you, Judaism is of the devil.
Amen.
It's of the devil. Judaism is a strong delusion. It is of the devil.
Amen.
It is a perverter of the gospel of Jesus. It is the old covenant trying to be reestablished again, and it will never produce a born again Christian.
Amen.
It will never produce life.
Amen.
Because the law was death.
Amen.
And it didn't work.
Amen.
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 Praise God. All right. Now, let's move on. I'm going to try to get some of these other scriptures in. Praise God. Amen. I think I read that one. Praise the Lord. Yes, I read that one. Praise God. How many loves Jesus? Praise the Lord. I did not print all this out where I would not have to put it through my Bible because I don't have much time. But I took tonight to do this for you because I want you to understand the time that you're living in and what our responsibility is. Amen. We have a responsibility to our families. We have a responsibility to our nation, our tribe, our people, the people we love. Yes, that hasn't changed.
Amen.
But our responsibility now is being broadened to a greater scale. It's being broadened to a worldwide event that is about to happen, and you and I are a part of what God's doing. Amen. We're a part of this. We all can't go to Israel. But we can pray, we can send, we can support. Amen. Who knows what I'm talking about? We can get behind this thing. We can alert others of what God is fixing to do. We can tell people, listen, there's a move of God that's about to strike Israel. People are going to be saved because of what I've done. God, people are already saved. Then it gives you an opportunity to tell them the truth.
Amen.
No man comes to the Father except by me.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, another set of scriptures that is always, I have always looked at. And that's here in, let me see what the scripture is. It's about the spirit of Elijah. Matthew chapter 17, verses 10 through 13. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribe that Elias or Elijah must first come? Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed, or whatever they desired. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. And he knows that John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah the prophet. He was not Elijah, but the spirit of Elijah was upon John the Baptist. Now, Jesus said, Elijah surely will first come and restore all things. But now, John the Baptist didn't restore all things. He didn't. So, did Jesus make a mistake? No. Jesus is speaking something prophetically here. He said he's come already, and he'll restore all things. And they said, well, they must be talking about John the Baptist. Okay, now listen. Look Well, you don't have to go there, but Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. This is what he says. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? There's a restoration, a restore. What's he talking about? This is before Jesus ascended. This is before the Holy Spirit was poured out. They asked him a question because they understood that there was going to be a restoration. Something was going to be restored. So they asked him a question. But Jesus said, I want you to go over to Jerusalem and I want you to tarry and wait for the promise of the Father. So they said, well, is this when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They're still thinking naturally. Let me understand, the disciples, amen, it took years to develop, amen, the doctrines of the teachers of the church. It did. It wasn't just something automatic like that that happened. Even though they were given all things pertaining to the kingdom of God, they still did not understand a lot of things Jesus said. No, sir, they did not. And I can prove that too. But in this particular situation, what was going on here, they knew that he said something, a promise was coming from the Father. Will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost was come. So there was a kingdom being given. How many knows the kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit? It is the Holy Ghost. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what is it? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, and the kingdom was given, but it wasn't given to Israel. It wasn't restored to Israel. It was given, but it wasn't restored to Israel. It was given to every person that would ever be born. Now, whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord. But it wasn't restored to Israel. You understand? It was taken from Israel. It was not restored to Israel. But they want to know, when was it going to be restored? When will Israel have the kingdom? When will Israel enjoy the kingdom? When will it be restored? Is that going to be the time? He said, oh, what's going to happen is you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be witnesses to me. Now listen. I believe it's there in Acts. I don't have it written down, but Acts 3 and 12, I believe. Talks about whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things spoken of by all his holy prophets since the world began. The word restitution means a restoring of something. A restoring of something. Now, so there is going to be a restoring. Before Jesus comes back, something is going to be restored. Amen. Something is going to be restored. Keep that in your mind. Something is going to be restored. They want to know if it was the kingdom, and I believe it is the kingdom. Now, let's go back to John a moment. In Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, we read the prophecy about Elijah the prophet. And the prophecy says this. He said, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And, two things, the heart of the children to their fathers. Yeah. Except, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. He's going to restore the heart of the fathers to the children. And, somebody say and.
Yeah.
Some different. And the heart of the children to the fathers. There's two things he was going to do. Now listen. Now I want you to look at, let me see what scripture it is right here. Into the New Testament. You can write it down if you want to. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. The angel Gabriel is informing Zacharias, who is the father of John the Baptist, what John's commission would be, what he would do. I want you to listen very carefully what the angel told him John would do. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He didn't say It doesn't say about the children to the fathers. But it was the fathers to the children. That was his commission. You understand? So John the Baptist fulfilled a lot of prophecies as twofold. Let me understand, reading prophecy, you will find it twofold. You'll find some of it natural, some of it spiritual. You'll also find some of it a two-part. Part of it will be fulfilled one day. You can read that in some of the prophecy about Jesus. Well, some of it was fulfilled, half of it fulfilled, but the other part wasn't fulfilled. It was fulfilled in a latter time. This is the same with John. Yeah, John the Baptist come in the spirit and power of life. Jesus said, he's already come. But he's going to come and restore all things. There's a restoration, see. So John the Baptist turned the heart of the fathers to the children. The heart of the fathers would be the heart of the fathers of the law. And then John came and reestablished the law to the people because the Pharisees and the Sadducees had perverted the law of God. They had established their own rules and regulations, much like a lot of our churches today have their own standards and rules and regulations. This is the way it's going to be. But I mean, that's the way the Pharisees and the Sadducees were. So John restored that, the heart of the fathers back to the children. The fathers being the fathers of the law and what they had to do, what those children of the law had to do. But there's coming a restoration of the opposite. And it's going to turn the heart of the children back to the fathers. The children being the children of Israel back to the apostolic fathers. See, the first part was of the law, of the first covenant. The second part is the new covenant. Amen? Amen. I mean, you see, the old covenant there and the new covenant. Amen. The new covenant has to be restored to the children of Israel. They do not have a covenant with God. Don't you know, don't you understand? The old covenant was done away with. They are without any covenant.
Amen.
They have no covenant with God.
Amen.
They don't have a contract.
Amen.
They do not have any kind of relationship with God because they rejected the new covenant.
Amen.
Right.
If I gave you, if you and I had a deal going and we had a contract and we worked on that contract and I said to you later, let's do a new contract. You said, okay. So we do a new contract and I gave you a new contract, then that old contract is not good anymore. Well, you couldn't come back to me and say, well, listen, I'm doing everything just like the contract said. And I said, well, wait a minute, you're doing like the old one said. This is my new covenant, Ram. This is my new contract.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? The old contract is done with.
Yeah.
The Jewish people are without a contract.
Amen.
They're without a covenant. I wish you could see that plainly.
Amen.
Because the new covenant has to be reestablished to them.
Right.
Amen. And that's what the spirit of Elijah is going to do. It is going to restore all things. It is going to restore the kingdom, restore the covenant back to the people of the covenant.
Amen.
The spirit of Elijah, he said he will come, he will restore all things. The heavens must receive him until the time of restitution of all things spoken of by all the holy prophet since the world began. Clearly a restoration is coming.
Amen.
But who is it for? I don't have to be restored. You don't have to be restored. We have the new covenant.
Amen. Right.
What nation, what people needs to be restored? Of all the peoples of the earth, what people, what race of people needs to be restored? The Jewish people. And it is the only race of people in the world that must be restored. That has to be restored. It's got to be talking about a move of God in the last days. It's got to be referring to a time when the spirit of Elijah is going to come. Not a spirit, amen, of a rebuke, but a spirit of love and compassion of the truth of the gospel being restored back. It's going to be something so far different than what the carnal mind has perceived and thought about for all these years. Listen, when Jesus first came, did they not miss it?
Yes.
They all missed it. Even the most wisest of the men. Gamaliel, the greatest teacher of the law, didn't figure it out. The Pharisees missed it. The Sadducees missed it. He didn't come like it. They were looking at it naturally. How would most of the church world are they looking at it? Naturally.
Yeah.
They're not looking at it spiritually. They're not looking at what God is, a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in the truth.
Amen.
My God, if we could just get our minds, amen. If we could get rid of this thing between our ears, amen. And let the mind of God, amen. If we could just allow allow the mind of Christ to be in us, we would be able to think like God thinks. Praise God. Amen. And then, the restoration being completed. The second part of that prophecy, Elijah returning. To turn is to restore. If I turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, I would be restoring the heart of the children to the fathers. Is that right? To turn is to restore something. To turn around is to restore it, is to do it again, is to turn around. If they turn, then I would be restoring the heart of the children to the fathers. Amen. Now, the kingdom being restored. Listen to this. This scripture has been in my spirit and my heart from almost day one when I was saved. The first vision I ever seen was the Lord being crucified. I realized that He was really a man that suffered and died. That He was not a God man that didn't feel anything. Amen. That He was a man, the Lamb of God, that suffered everything.
Amen.
Amen. And Jesus said this. And He said, these are amazing scriptures if you're spiritual minded. These are amazing. In Matthew 22, verses 36 through 39, He says this. Jesus speaking to the Jewish people. He's speaking to the Pharisees. He's speaking to the Sadducees. He's speaking to the Jewish people, His people. And we know Jesus was a Jew. Amen.
Amen.
Verily, I say unto you, the word verily means truth. I say unto you, all things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. You know what desolate means? It means desolate. Gone. Zilch. Nada. Nothing.
Amen.
Completely,
Amen.
Totally destroyed.
Amen.
Your house is left unto you desolate.
Right.
Desolate. And then He said this, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth. You'll never see me again until ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now you think about that. Now that is powerful. I'm talking about
Amen.
Prophetically
Amen.
Powerful.
Amen.
Right.
Your house is desolate. You rejected the prophets. You rejected everything. And now your house is desolate.
Amen.
For I say to you, who is you? Their house is desolate. He wasn't talking really now. He's prophetically. He's not talking to them people. He's talking to the people that will be born after them. He's talking to the people of this age. But I say to you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Tell me what the name of the Lord is.
Jesus.
Jesus is the name of the Lord. The Jewish people today is still your enemy. To them, Jesus is still a bastard, and they call him a bastard to this day. They hate the name of Jesus. But something supernatural is about to happen in the land of Israel. This scripture, this prophetic utterance of our Lord is speaking of a time till they're going to say, blessed are you.
Amen.
You're coming in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
They're going to say, you're blessed are you. You're coming in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And that's when they're going to see Jesus, not in the clouds of glory.
Amen.
They're going to see Jesus in you.
Amen.
You'll not see me henceforth till you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Don't you see? The Jewish people, when they say that, oh, they're blessed, they're coming in the name of Jesus. It's got to be a restoration. This is the restoration of the kingdom of God back to Israel. The kingdom is the Holy Ghost. The kingdom is spiritual, amen. And Jesus was prophesying of that time. And they're going to accept it. They're going to believe it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God. Yesterday. Well, let me do it this way. Today, they are enemies for you and me. Yesterday, they were left desolate. Today, they're your enemies. But thank God, tomorrow, praise God, they will call you blessed. When they shall see Christ in you, their only hope of glory. Hallelujah. Get you this hand of faith. Scripture, and I'll close to prove this. Amen. In John 14 and 8 through 12, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will satisfy us. It supplieth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not, listen to what Jesus says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Listen, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. When they saw Jesus, they saw the Father. How did they see the Father? Because of the works of the Father that was wrought in by the power, amen, in Jesus, amen, life, and in his ministry. Every time Jesus healed someone, they seen the Father. That's what Jesus was saying, amen. When they saw Jesus, they saw the Father, for Jesus revealed the Father through the works that he did. The Father is in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. When they see the works of God wrought in their midst, they will once again see him, thus fulfilling our Lord's words, amen. Ye shall not see me henceforth, till you say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. That's where they're going to see Jesus, when they see the works of God wrought in them. When you say in the name of Jesus and somebody leaps and walks. When you say in the name of Jesus and the blinded eyes is opened and the deaf ears is unstopped. Hallelujah. Amen. God. Amen. When you say in the name of Jesus. Amen. And the lame is walking and the great signs and wonders are being wrought. They're seeing Jesus. Because it's in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you. Would be the fulfilling of what God began. This would be the wrapping up of everything. How many know our Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus is the same. But the moving of the Spirit, no man can come unless the Spirit draws him. Fullness of the Gentiles become in. They were cut off. They were blinded for a season until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Their eyes are going to be opened. And it's going to be wrought. The power of God's going to be wrought. I believe this with all my heart. I'm telling you. And these are just a few of the things, amen, that the Lord has been giving me of late, giving me for a number of years now. But it seems like now everything is snowballing. Amen. It's just snowballing. And people are opening their eyes. Like I said, you know, some of those Jews, amen, the Orthodox Jews, amen, that hate Jesus. Some of them are giving their lives to Jesus now. Something is starting already in the land of Israel.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And now.